You know, if you live in Tulsa or actually Oklahoma, Texas, all up through here, you know the weather can change very rapidly. And storms come up and tornado sirens go off, and every TV channel is giving you the latest updates. And now today I'm not going to talk about weather, but I am going to talk about storms, adversities, difficulties, troubles that we go through. Now, we refer to these things as storms. And so that's what I'm talking about, mastering the storm. You know, there are times when all hell breaks loose in your life. Anybody been there? I've been there a bunch of times. There are times when the enemy goes on a rampage, man. And there are times whenever circumstances seem overwhelming and many people don't know how to handle the storms very well. You know, some people get fearful and try to hide. So others think they're a victim of circumstances. Others are overwhelmed and become passive. And then there's the group that says, you know, God sends these storms in your life to teach you something. It's the will of God. Well, it's not. That's not the way God teaches. You know, I've never taught my children anything by inflicting punishment, you know, disease and all that kind of stuff on them. Come on now. Look, don't sit there like that. You know, there's a fellow that has a book out, and he used to preach from this pulpit, Tony Cook. He has a book called Through the Storms, and he says, extreme passivity is not consistent with the scripture or reason. Jesus was certainly not passive when it came to the storms he encountered. I don't want to assume that I am a helpless victim or adopt an attitude of passivity when God has given us powerful spiritual weapons. He's given us the name of Jesus, the Word of God, the armor of God, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and the power of prayer. You need to get a hold of that one. You need to learn how to deal with the storms that come in your life. It's not if you're going to have one, because sooner or later, everybody faces some kind of storm in their life. And the question that I have for you today, are you ready to master the storm when it comes? Because it will come. Now, some of you are sitting there looking at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. Am I the only one that has ever incurred storms coming into my life, trying to tear up everything and tear me down and turn away? Am I the only one, or is there anybody else? I got any company in here? All right, I got some. Well, man, I got about half of the church that I thank God that the rest of you haven't had these storms. But let me tell you, if you're breathing God's oxygen, sometime, somewhere, you're going to fight. They're going to be a storm. Hello. Now look at Matthew 7, 24 through 27. Matthew 7. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rains descended, floods came, the winds blew, beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Now, you know, that's the New King James, but I like to go and read some of the other translations of different scriptures, because not every translation is a good translation, but sometimes they give you a better idea of what the scripture means because of the way they explain it. How many understand what I'm saying to you? You know, and I'm not condoning or putting any version above another version. There's some people that think that we still need to use the King James Version because that's what Paul used. I heard a guy say that one time. Paul did not know 1600 Elizabethan English. He knew Greek, New Testament Greek, and it's a completely different language than the language of Greek today. Now, I want to read it from the Message version. These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you're like a smart carpenter who builds his house on a solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved the house. It was fixed to the rock. But if you just use my words in the Bible study and don't work them into your life, you're like a stupid carpenter who built his house on a sandy beach. When the storm rolled in, the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards. Hello. Now, that says it in a little different language, but it's telling you that if you don't build the Word of God into your life, you're going to be like a stupid carpenter that built his house on the sand. You know, there's nothing wrong with building your house, but make sure you build it where you're supposed to with God's Word. You know, notice both of these guys faced the same storm, but one survived and one failed. Why? Because of the Word of God. He was established on the Word and the other wasn't. You know, this building right here, when we built this building and the other buildings that we built, STC 1 and 2, now the ones that were here before that we've had to remodel, there's nothing we could do with the foundation. But this ground, and if you live in that neighborhood behind the over there, the apartments, we have trouble in that neighborhood, that is all, I mean, they have foundational problems because this ground is unstable ground. In order to build this church, we took out 3 feet of dirt for this whole thing, built a mountain out here. They called it Matt Hagen's Mountain. Anybody remember that when we were building the church back in? And then we had to come in and we had to put different kind of soil in here. We had to add different kind of additives to it. And we had to mix it with a sheep foot and go through and do all sorts of things. And when it was finished, we had a pad here that was like concrete almost, you know, because you have to do the right things. And then we had to drill piers. And some of the engineers said, oh, well, the brown shale is fine. But old Mr. Harrison that did all our drilling for us, he said, I've been drilling in this Oklahoma soil for 36 years, I think he said. He said, if I'm going to do the job, I'm going all the way down to the gray shale. I'm going down deeper. And that's what we did. And you know, when we had all the snow on the back roof back there, they said it's equivalent to 6 semis loaded with the steel that built this building. That's the weight that was back there. It did very little damage, and you didn't even know it happened in the other part of the building. The engineers say this building is so built so strong you can drive a semi into one corner of it and never know it in the other corner. Why? Because we took the time to build the foundation properly. You got to take the time to build your foundation of your life on the Word of God. What God said, you know. Somebody said, well, hey, I think we can get by with this. No, you got to build it the right way. You know, they said, hey, some engineers said, oh, you can get by with just going down this far. No, some of these piers under this building go down 63 feet. And there's one right there and one over there and one over there, so we can span this thing without having poles in here. It's 6 foot diameter. That's how it's 6 feet in diameter. It's about six. They're all the way from 57 to 63 feet deep. And they got rebar, a cage of rebar built in there. They're about that big around, and they put together. And then they fill that thing 63 feet full of concrete. But now they while they're doing that, they got a vibrator on the end of a deal. It's down in there in that concrete vibrating so that they get no honeycombs. Because if they get a honeycomb in there, in other words, there's air bubbles in there, then the cement's not as strong. It'll break down. Why did we do all that? Why do you put all of that time and effort and money so that the foundation is strong and the building is standing? Amen. I know when the tornado sirens go off, the students over in student housing across the street there, they come over here and get behind that wall of what they call the choir room. That's where they get in that place, you know. It's in the center of this building, and it's a pretty good place to get. You know, so both of them had the same storms. But one did the right thing and one did the wrong thing. So that means then, not if the storms will come, but when they will come. That also means you cannot use storms that's happening in your life as a sign of whether you're in God's will or not. Finally, the devil will bring storms to your life to get you away from acting on the Word of God and living in the will of God. Now, there are several kinds of storms. I probably can't list them all, but I'm going to there is the storm adversity. Now, that's like Paul faced on the ship there in Acts 27 when they had a shipwreck. Then there's the storm of difficult circumstances, and that's when Jesus told them they're going to cross the Sea of Galilee in Matthew 8. We'll get to that in a minute. And then there may be storms caused by your own actions are decisions. See, one man built his house on a rock, another man made a decision to build his house on the sand. Well, it was his bad decision that caused his house to fall because he didn't build it right. See, Jonah disobeyed God, so when the storm came, he was in trouble. Anybody remember that? Now, the storm may be raging within you, like David in Psalms 42 and a lot of the other storms. He had to fight discouragement, despair, fear, depression, difficult times. But all of these people encountered storms, but they all come out of the storms because of God. Now, Jonah got in trouble because he made a wrong decision, but then he turned around and made the right decision, and it got all corrected. So if you made a wrong decision, don't think it's over. No, it's not over. All you got to do is correct your decision and go the right way with God and His Word, and things will come out all right. You know, so many times people want to get under condemnation. You know, people want to put them under condemnation. Hey, therefore there is no condemnation of them that are in Christ Jesus. Just correct. I'm not talking about you made a bad decision, you sinned. I'm talking about you just made a bad decision that caused some problems. Well, correct it. Hello. You know. Now, let's look at Jesus in Matthew 8 and the disciples. Matthew 8 and Jesus and the disciples. Matthew 8:18. And when Jesus saw the great multitude about him, he gave the command to depart the other side. Now, then in verses, you go there and you 19, 20, 21, and 22, he had to deal with some people. They came and asked him some questions, then dropped to 23. Now when he got into the boat and his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with waves, but he was asleep. Then the disciples came to him and awoke him and said, Lord, save us, we're perishing. But he said to them, Why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose, rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. Now, I want you to look at several things here that I think can help you in your storms. Okay, here, he gave the command to go the other side. A command is an order. And it is meant to be carried out. Anybody in here that's been in the military understands a command or an order. When they order you, I mean, one time my CEO, he wanted me to, somebody had done something wrong. I didn't want to say nothing against him, but I knew about it. And so I said, well, I'd rather not answer, sir. He said, it's a command. I order you to answer. Now, I got an answer. Hello, how many understand what I'm saying to you? There's Lieutenant Colonel Steve Morn right there. He's retired. Have you ever given a command? Did you expect back talk? What did you expect?
To do it.
You expected them to do it. And it's especially important when he is flying those F-18s and he gave an order. It was especially, or a command, it was especially important that the person carry it out because their life and his life depended on it. Let me tell you something. You know what? Your life depends on it, so you better learn how to command according to the Word of God. You know, here we see that after Jesus told him to get in the boat, there in 18, there was 19 and 20 and 21, 22, some people came, they held him up a little bit. And then they got in the boat. Now, here they are on the sea. Jesus in the boat. Jesus said, go to the other side. He went back and he laid down and went to sleep. Now, when you give a command and you expect it to be carried out, you're not concerned about it. Hello? See, we need to realize that when we give the command, then we don't need to get in fear or anything else. Because if we get into fear or open the door to by unbelief or fear, we immediately nullify any command that we've given. Now it says here, other translations say a fierce storm, a great storm. Now, they probably were out in the middle of that thing and couldn't see land anywhere. They were on some of the translations call it the Sea of Tiberias, but it actually it's the Sea of Galilee. I was just on there, a year ago, this past June. Joe and Amy were there with us all out there on the middle of the Sea of Galilee. It was probably evening time. They might not have been able to even see land because that sea is what I had it here somewhere. I don't see it here. I had it written down how big the sea was, but it's not that big. I mean, it's 8 miles wide and something like that, and about 5 miles across or something like that, you know. So they might, if they're in the middle, they probably weren't able to see land. Hello? Now, here is the problem. The storm came, okay? The storm was all around them. The problem is they let the storm get inside of them. And then fear arose and they ran and hollered, "Lord, save us, we're perishing." See, you can have all kinds of storms around you, but you're in trouble when they get inside of you. Because then that brings on fear, doubt, and everything else. You know, it's possible to have peace in the midst of the storm. It's possible for you to be calm in the midst of the storm. That is one thing that from my military training that I try to bring into every area of my life. No matter what happens, stay calm. Any military people in here? Any of y'all ever heard that? No matter what happens, stay calm. The reason is you stay calm is because if you get in fear or anything else, you can't make a proper decision and you're probably going to get yourself killed and some other people killed. Hello? Stay calm. In any situation, stay calm. You know, if you have the word in your heart, then that's what keeps you calm. That's what gives you peace. You see, you either think about the storm raging around you, or you think about the greater one on the inside of you. You start thinking about the storm around you, and it'll get in you. But while the storm is raging around you, if you will think about the greater one that lives on the inside of you, then it's a whole different story. It's a whole different ball game, as we would say. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace who looks at the storm." You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. In other words, you got the word inside of you, and you, the man on the inside, keeps the mind thinking about the word of God and not about the storm. Now, I want to tell you, the storm is going to pound your mind and tell you it can't happen. You're going under, you're going down, throw in a towel, it's all over. But you got to let the word that's down on the inside of you come up and take control of your mind. Keep thinking about the storm, you get in fear, you get in unrest. And you start trying to make some decision to do something about yourself. And if you could have done something about the storm, you'd already done it. So, stay calm and stay with the word of God coming out of your mouth. See, don't let the storm get inside you. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Don't let your storm get inside of you." How many of you be willing to admit, like myself, that I messed up and let the storm get inside of me? And then it took me a while, but I got straightened out. Amen. We all have to be careful that we don't let the storm get in us. The storm can rage. The winds can blow. The rain can come. The floods can come. And all can go against you. But as long as you stay with my word, I will see you through. And your house will stand because you build it on the foundation of my word. And you'll come out and you'll sing victory while the storm is raging. While the wind is blowing in your face, you will stand and sing, "I have everything I need to be complete in the Lord." You can stand and sing, "I am happy because I know I cannot be defeated, because the word tells me that I can go to the other side and no weapon formed against me will prosper. So I will rejoice in the word while the storm rages and know that nothing can harm me, because the greater one is on the inside of me. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I still got some more here, but I think we just ought to stop right there. That was a word from the Lord. Hallelujah. Everybody stand. You know, you need to learn this. You know, I could go on. I got more to the sermon. But I think the Lord put the capstone right there. That's it. I mean, you know, what else can I add? Hello? Hey, remember this. In the midnight hour, morning's coming. Remember this. It may be dark of night, but the sun will shine again. Remember this. It may be sorrowful right now, but joy comes in the morning. Remember, you can call on Jesus and know that He will see you through. You can stand on the word and know that it may be dark today, but that's only temporary. It's only temporary. We're on our way to victory on the other side of the storm. Hallelujah. The storm can't have me, because I got the storm. See, too many people let the storm get them. No, you get the storm and you control the storm. Jesus told the storm what to do. The storm didn't tell him what to do. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but I preach myself happy. Glory. No storm. No storm can overtake me. No storm is greater than the word of God coming out of my mouth. No storm can take me down as long as I am rooted and grounded in the word of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. You got anything?
Absolutely. We're gonna see what we're praying for.
Of life cannot master us as long as we stay with the word of God. It's the word. It's the word. It's the word. Not my word, but God's word. I hear people say all the time, well, Brother Hagin said, and Brother so-and-so said. It don't matter what they said. What does the word say? Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's all he would ever say. He's celebrating his 100th year in heaven today, because this is his birthday. He was born August the 20th, 1917. And all of my life, all I ever heard him say, when I would say, Dad, what about this? I have a problem. Teenager, got a problem. What about this? Son, what does the word say? And they sometimes I would know, but sometimes I don't know. And he said, then you better go find out. He wouldn't even tell me. You know why? I asked him one day, I said, Dad, all the years I've asked you stuff, and you'd tell me, well, you go find it. You go find out. He said, because when you go find it for yourself, you'll never forget it. If I tell you, you might forget it. So I'm telling you, I don't care what kind of storm you're going through, go get in the Word of God and find your answer in the Word of God, and you won't ever go under. And the next time that same kind of storm comes, you won't have to go looking. Automatically, it'll be coming out of your mouth. Hallelujah. Every time I face a storm, the first thing I say is, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. That's the first thing you're going to say. The second thing you need to say is, I've not been given a spirit of fear. Because the enemy will try to get you in fear. See, you just need to have, and then I will go to, he will keep me in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Hallelujah. Then I go over to the Psalms that talks about the mountains falling down and the sea roaring. But it said, hey, don't worry about it. God's always there. Hello. Glory to God. Well, anybody got anything this morning? Amen and amen and amen. Glory to God. Bow your heads for just a moment. I never like to have a service that I speak at that I don't give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus. You never know. There may be somebody in here that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. There may be people in here that need to rededicate their life to God. They know what it is to serve God, but they just not where they're supposed to be, and they need to rededicate. Or they might be people in here that have been going to church all your life, but you don't know whether you've ever accepted Christ as your Savior or not. It doesn't church, going to church don't save you. You must open your mouth and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Anybody on any one of those three invitations, anywhere in this auditorium, upstairs, downstairs, raise your hand right now. I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. Anybody, anywhere, you need Jesus, you need to rededicate your life, you need to have a no-so experience, there's a hand over here. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Anyone else want to raise their hand? Praise the Lord. We also believe in being filled with the Spirit around here. According to Acts chapter 2 and verse number 4, I'm not talking about church creed or doctrine, I'm talking about what the Bible said. The Bible said they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. Anybody want to receive that biblical experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit? Let me see your hand. Anybody in the room, anywhere? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right, I know that there was one. I don't know, there may have been more, but I'm going to go down to the front. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, I want you to get up and get down here right now so you can be changed and your life will never be the same again after today. Come on. Just come on. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, come on. Just stand right here. We'll wait for some more. God bless you. Here comes another one. Come on. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Just stand right here, man. Just stand right here. Hallelujah. Glory, Father, in the name of Jesus. We're waiting. Anybody else want to come? Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on right now. Up in the balcony. Bring them down. Come on. We're waiting. We're waiting for somebody else. Come on. We'll just take a moment. We'll take a moment. We're going to wait. Anybody coming from the balcony up there, guys? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Glory to God. Listen, guys, I'm going to pray with you right here, and then I'm going to ask you to go to a special place where you can be prayed with individually, in depth, given some literature and so forth. The place where you're going, we call it prayer room this morning, but every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, it becomes a classroom called Turning Point. Get your life turned back on for God. I'd like to see you there. Oh, here comes some more right here. Let's just wait a minute. I'm getting a little fast. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. God bless you guys. Hallelujah. Bless you. Praise God. Like I was telling them, I'm going to send you to a place where you can be prayed with individually and in depth, given some books and some literature. The place where you're going, we call it prayer room this morning, but every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, it becomes a classroom called Turning Point. You say, what in the world is that? Well, it's just a few classes help you get your life turned on to God or back on to God. That's all it is. It starts at 9 o'clock. It'll be next Sunday morning. I'd like to see you there. Praise God. Raise one hand toward heaven, because I can't give you what you come after. You come after a spiritual gift. Reach your hands toward them, people, and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now that every one of these will receive the spiritual need in their life met right now. Salvation, rededication, noticeable experience with you. Blessing, infilling of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Put your hands down and look at me, guys. Thank you all for coming. You made the best decision of your life. You see this fellow over there? That's Greg right there. He's going to take you to that place where you get prayed with individually and in depth, given the literature. Would you just turn and go right there with him right now? Just follow him to that place. God bless you guys as you go. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.